welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. It's Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. And first thing on the show, we're going to be talking about this season's production at the Signal Mountain Playhouse. It's Dearly Departed, a comedy written by two playwrights from Kentucky, David Buttrell and Jesse Jones. Set in the Baptist backwoods of the Bible Belt, it tells the story of the Turpin family and their attempts to overcome their differences at the funeral of the family patriarch, Bud Turpin. WUTC's Richard Winham is speaking with Michelle Ford, who plays Bud Turpin's wife, Raynell, and Tim Forsyth, who plays her son, Ray Bud.
It's a Southern comedy, and the characters are everyday people. They're people that we see in our own families, people we know, people we see in Walmart and in stores around town.
At one point on NPR, they had a correspondent. He was based in London. And on Friday, he would do a, quote, Brit story. Always a weird Brit story, you know, something that, you know, can you believe these people? I think next to the Brits, Southerners are lampooned more than any other regional group. So when we come up against a play like this, I wonder how you feel. Obviously, as a Southerner, you're to some degree the butt of the joke, right? Because a joke is playing on Southern tropes and
yes.
Southern manners and
yes.
Modes of speech, attitudes. So I guess for it to work, particularly for people who are in the South, you better be funny, huh?
Well, that's true.
Yes.
Because, and like you said, we're so used to being made fun of. We go on a cruise or whatever, and people say, can you say that again or whatever? And so we actually accentuate some of those accents in the characters. And when you live here in the South, you're raised in the South, you actually see some of those same characters in your family. And that's what makes it so funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody says something and then you laugh about it, it's probably because you've experienced that. They say throw a stick into a pit of dogs and the one that's hit will yelp. And that's the way it is with this comedy. It's when you see that character on stage, you go, oh my goodness, that's so-and-so.
Well, and what's so important is that these characters not be caricatures. These are real people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tim said, these are people we know. These are our often cases ourselves even. And so an accent is not something that you do to be funny. It's something that you are. It's a part of who you are. I can study a dialect and I could put the sounds in my mouth and make them come out, but it still won't sound right if I don't embody the whole character. And so if we did caricatures, then it would be, we would be the butt of the joke because it would be fake. But if we embrace these people as just who they are and don't judge them and just put them out there on the stage for everybody to see, then it's funny.
Well, this one's Perry Como. He's by my first marriage to AC. You remember him?
Oh, sure.
And this is Alan Alda, and that's Linda Evans there in the back. That one over there is Charles Bronson. And then there's the twins, Ann Margaret and Ann Murray. And this here is Farrah Jaja.
Oh, isn't she beautiful? They're all just so precious, Nadine.
Well, thank you, Lucille.
And you named them all after someone famous.
Yes, I did. Call me a fool, but I've always thought each of them is special in some way. And, well, I just figured if you're special, you should have a special name. Excuse me, Lucille. Oprah, put that down. Put it down.
Well, honey, you're just so lucky to have all these precious babies. Now, Ray Bud and I have tried so many times, but I just never seem to be able to carry him to term.
Oh, I just know it'll work out for you. You would be such a good mother, and I know how happy Ray Bud would be.
Oh, he would. You know, he never talks about it, but I just know how bad he wants one.
Well, 8th time's the charm. That's what I've always heard.
One of the things you see in this play, I don't care if you're from the North or you're from the South, from the West, there is dysfunction in every family. And so when you, sometimes you see this as a Southern comedy, but when you see the dysfunction in each one of these family members as they come together for the funeral, It doesn't matter what region you're from. You know that dysfunction. You know what that's like. So it doesn't matter if you have a Southern accent or a Minnesotan accent. It's the dysfunction in the family that you're like, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
All right, that's it. That's it. Get up. Get up. Get in them chairs. Get in them chairs and don't get out of them. Now, anybody else have anything they want to say or do? Everybody have anything they need. Delightful. Would you like a dilly bar? Let's get a dilly bar down here. Now, that's it. I don't want to hear another word out of anybody. We're doing it. We're doing it. Come hell or high water.
My character's name is Junior. I'm the youngest son. My older brother, Ray Bud, is, you know, he kind of drinks himself into oblivion. And I guess unemployed or going from job to job. But I have sold everything. And we've moved my family and cleaning machine home to buy a parking lot cleaning machine so I can start my own business and I can be a businessman. And that pretty much fails, as Ray Bud says, Junior couldn't sell lemonade in hell. So it was one of those things where my wife stays constantly angry at me because I've squandered our money on a parking lot cleaning machine. So there's those scenes with us in a car, her screaming at me about the parking lot cleaning machine and me getting fed up with her. And so this is on our way to the funeral. And then what happens when the family gets together and how she exposes certain things that Junior has done that he shouldn't have done. So it's really just between those characters, Suzanne, which is played by Shonda Burnett, who's got a lot of experience and does a wonderful job. And Junior, they're at each other until like the last 3 minutes of the show.
How's she gonna go on? That's what I'd like to know. How is she gonna face life without Daddy Bud? I just don't know how she's gonna go on without losing her mind. I can't decide what to sing. Of course, I don't know how I'll get through it. I swear to God I don't. I'll probably just fall down in the floor in a big pool of tears. God knows nobody'd blame me if I did. All our humiliation and now Daddy Bud had to up and die without seeing you make something yourself.
Well, maybe you could sing Jesus on the Cross.
I don't know. I mean, that just doesn't seem sad enough for a funeral. And God knows it's going to be sad, sitting there thinking your daddy died, knowing we had to sell everything we owned, move into that god-awful trailer just to pay off that big dream of yours.
Well, maybe you can set that to music, Suzanne.
I believe I was just stating the facts, wasn't I? You know I loved him too, Junior. He was just like my own daddy. I was the one that had to go crawling to him like a snake to beg for money to buy shoes for our children. But I did it. I humbled myself. And do you know why I did it, Junior? Can all be summed up in two little words. For love. I told you to quit kicking the back of my seat. I know you're hungry. You think I'm not? It'd be nice to stop and get something to eat now, wouldn't it? Well, maybe we could if your daddy hadn't lost all our money. Love, Junior. It's been the curse of my whole life. And now we have to face your family with all them knowing, all them looking down at us, laughing at us. Who ever heard of a machine that cleans parking lots?
It's all about how the family deals with the patriarch's death and their relationships with him, the relationships that they had with him, the father-son relationships that perhaps weren't everything that they had wanted them to be, and yet they still have this dream in their head of what they wanted them to be, the husband-wife relationship, and how over a course of many, many years, the perceptions of each other begin to get skewed just because it's easy to stop talking to each other and stop being with each other. And I play the part of Raynell Turpin, and I am Tim's, Junior's mother. And so I'm the matriarch. I am the widow. And so I'm tired. I'm the one who holds everybody together. And when Bud passes away, my whole life changes because here's this man who I've been married to for almost 40 years, but really probably haven't talked to in 33 years, haven't really had too much of conversation, haven't really looked at him too much. And even though I've always thought that even though we were married, we didn't have much of a life together. But once he dies, I realize he really was my whole life, even though I might not have always been happy about it. And that changes everything. And so Raynell goes through this journey of trying to figure out how she really feels about Bud. And she starts off thinking that she's just plain angry, but then she realizes, no, there's a lot more involved in that. And then also having to deal with everybody from my crazy sons who are arguing all the time to this daughter that is a late in life surprise, as we call her. Delightful is the character's name. And she and I don't have much of a relationship, and she pretty much just sits there and eats the whole play. And just recognizing that, you know, hey, I have this other person in my life that I never even really considered to be in my life. So Raynell has so much going on through her head, through the whole play, and through her heart as she watches, as a matriarch, watches everyone in her family and in the community go through the grieving process for this man that she just assumed everybody was angry with him the same way she was. And she finds out, well, no, they weren't all that angry with him. And so that's kind of surprising and hurtful in some ways that not everyone thought of him the same way she did. And so it causes her to reflect and realize that, well, maybe she didn't dislike him as much as she thinks she did.
Can I get you a little more coffee, Reverend Hooker?
No, Sister Turpin, I'm fine. You just rest yourself. I know this has been an awful day for you. Sister, I did not know Brother Turpin well, but to me he seemed a quiet man, a man of inner strength, a man who knew his own mind, kept his own counsel, and was at peace with the world. A man of few words with a strong sense of family and community, a good neighbor you could go to if you needed a helping hand, a good husband and father, a man who was close to the earth, a wise, noble, and gentle man.
Well, that's because you didn't know him till he was old and sick. He was mean and right surly.
Sister, in my experience, it's best to remember the happier times.
Few and far between, Reverend. Few and far between.
I see.
You see, Reverend Hooker, after Ray Bud and Junior were born, I got interested in going back to services. Bud and I were both raised in the church, but we were young and had drifted somewhat from the shore. Well, I started going back pretty regular with Bud's sister, Marguerite. And one night during a revival preached by the Reverend Reese Campbell, who was our pastor for many years before you came, I got saved. Well, when I came home and announced that to Bud, he just about hit the ceiling. You never heard such a stream of filthy language in your life. So I said to him, "Your mortal soul is in grave danger, buddy boy, and if you've got a brain to an acre, you'll go down there and get yourself saved before it's too late." Well, he wouldn't have none of it. So I said to him, I said, "If that's the way you feel about it, mister, I am cutting you off."
I beg your pardon?
Not so much as a warm handshake for 33 years, Reverend. I guess you might say we had sort of a standoff. Well, except for that one time.
I see. Did Brother Turpin ever come to embrace the church?
Not that I know of.
Well, don't you fret, sister. We don't know what transactions the Lord makes with a soul in those last few moments on this earth.
Well, if the Lord made a transaction with Bud, it had to be a quick one because he was dead by the time he hit the floor.
But we don't know that for sure, do we, sister?
Look dead to me.
Now, don't you worry, Sister Turpin. I believe I'll be able to come up with a suitable eulogy for your husband. Delightful, is there anything you'd like to add?
Guess that about does it, Reverend.
The Signal Mountain Playhouse production of Dearly Departed is in the Crest Center of the Signal Crest United Methodist Church on Ridgeway Avenue on Signal Mountain. Performances start at 8 o'clock on Friday, February 16th and Saturday, February 17th, and again on Friday, February 23rd and Saturday, February 24th. Details are on their Facebook page, smph.org. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.